Welcome to episode 11 of Digital Outbox. Hello, and welcome to our brand new episode. Joining me this week is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Hiya.
And Shaquille. Hi, Shaq.
Good evening.
Good evening. I will need to work out what to call you, whether it's Shaq or Shaquille, every time.
You can call me Sir if you like.
Okay, Sir. Will we just crack on with some news? We've got a lot to cover tonight.
Yep, go for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
First up, Shaq, you've got some news on Android.
Yes. I think we briefly mentioned it last week that Microsoft were trying to port some iPhone developers.
Yep.
And obviously some of the iPhone developers are working on Android as well, which is a Google mobile platform. And some of them have been making comments recently that switch over from iPhone development to Android, it's not as good as they expected it to be. Some of the comments have been that it's lacking severely, and that the state-of-the-art is today further behind the iPhone state-of-the-art than it was when the G1 first launched. Was that last October?
So do you mean by that, like the iPhone's moved on further or moved on at a faster pace than Android has?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, quite critical comments and people saying that, they must do better. And I'm sure they will. Maybe they've been focusing on other things, so they've sort of let this one slip by. But, yeah, if they want to compete with the iPhone, then they can't, let the gap increase anymore. Because it's not good for anybody at the end of the day. I mean, if iPhone gets so far ahead, then Apple might start to, just rest on their laurels.
I think we're all agreed there, yeah, for sure. It definitely would be a good thing for them to get their act together.
Yeah, when we see it in every market, competition. Mm. Yep. Competition's good.
I find it a bit surprising, though. I thought, Google would always seem to be, pushing the boundaries, forward, and I don't know why they've let this one slip by.
They've got a lot on at the moment, haven't they? They seem to be doing an awful lot, and maybe they're just spreading resources a bit thin. I mean, I have every confidence they will get it together. They seem to be a company that do.
They're a very big company.
Yeah. They're massive.
The only thing I find surprising is that they kept on talking about, I'm sure it was things like 70 different models by year end or by middle of next year, and it just doesn't seem to be getting the volume of models out there that they talked about.
Well, I think that's probably partly because phone manufacturers see, the fact that it's not up to scratch yet and thinking, well, we can still do a better job internally or, using other operating systems and things.
Mm, maybe. So something I'd spotted with Android as well was something called Layer, which is L-A-Y-E-R, which is an augmented reality browser. Now, we've talked about this a couple of times with iPhones, but this is specifically on Android. And it's almost like an app or an app platform that you can download for your Android phone. And they have said that iPhone version is coming soon. And what it does is it allows you to download different data layers that you can then place on top of a real-world video or photo. So if you can imagine looking at your video on your phone, and on top of that you can place local Flickr photos, local restaurant reviews, house prices, friends who are nearby, games, shopping, so you can do like reviews of shops, etc. So there's all these different layers coming out now.
Is this developed by Google then?
No. I'll put the link in the show notes to the actual company and who's developing it, because I can't remember their proper name.
Okay.
It still looks quite early. I think it is all early for this kind of augmented reality, but it does look like a real growing market. But the only kind of, I guess, silly thing is you do a little bit of a twat walking around looking at your phone.
Maybe they should develop some goggles.
Well, you do wonder where it's going to go. This kind of technology.
Yeah,
they've done well to get in early, and they're obviously setting down some of the rules about how do you set up these layers and what kind of data and how do you store it and stuff. So,
well, I guess
they've probably done quite well getting in early.
Yeah, and it's also, I guess, just the processing power that you require to run this, I'm assuming, isn't trivial. So sometimes it looks a bit jerky, at the moment, but I'm sure in the future, you know, maybe the next iteration of Android or iPhones will have the power to run this really smoothly.
I'd imagine the biggest call of power is on the cellular network, or however you're connected to grab the data. I mean, it's probably very local power, as far as it's actually running on the iPhone or on the Android operating system. So it relies on the handset to run the actual, you know, overlay the image onto the camera.
Yeah. But it's still, I mean, as you're saying, it's still pulling down a lot of data. And I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that's why we've seen so many video streaming apps not having the ability to stream over 3G. It's all been Wi-Fi. So, moving on. And I guess it's related to this is Twitter over the last week have been quite aggressive. I find Twitter quite strange, and it's such a massive platform now, but it seems to be you don't hear anything from them from a development point of view, then they kind of release a whole barrage of information. So this week they've talked about a geolocation API, so that's actual properly tagging tweets with where they've been tweeted from. And I guess from that can then extend out. You can say, show me tweets nearby me. I guess you can then see tweets from a location. So show me everything in a city or a country or in a specific location, I guess. You know, when there's a festival, and like Edinburgh Festival's on just now, I guess the amount of tweets from there must be massive.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've got something similar already, haven't we, in these iPhone Twitter apps. You can look at tweets locally, but this will be like just on the desktop as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So it seems like it's built in at a more fundamental level.
The fact that it's API supported as well, and also, you've got your trends at the moment, but I guess you can then have trending places, you know, so you can have, you know, where events are happening around the world instead of it just being, you know, an actual hashtag. I guess you'd be able to go in and say, well, Iran's really hot just now with tweets or whatever.
It sounds like an interesting addition. Let's see where it goes, basically.
Yeah. Also on top of that, they've talked about officially supporting retweets. So this is a bit like how initially hashtags and even @s weren't really supported when it first came out. So they're now talking about a project retweet. And again, this will be supported in API, and they're talking about changing how it looks on screen. And also then, I guess, a whole load of the apps that are out there will have to change as well. But I looked at it and thought, did this really need to be changed?
Well, I found it strange. I remember a while back, you know, when you retweeted something, and it always said you had like RT colon in the name of the person you're retweeting. And then somebody I remember said on the internet that you should be using Via instead of RT. And I thought, what is the difference? You know, obviously there's a purpose to it, but I just don't really understand it.
I know. And there was a whole kind of daft debate. The thing I liked about just putting the RT was it's a bit shorter.
Yeah.
You know, and by only having 140 characters, you know, it can be, if somebody's put a long message in, you do want to retweet it. I always feel I shouldn't edit their message, but at the same time, I want to see where it's came from.
Mm. So, maybe with this retweet, then you won't even have to put in RT or Via. Maybe it'll just somehow
That's how it looks.
Link behind the scenes.
Yeah. It's linked behind the scenes, and it's basically underneath the message, it tells you where it came from.
Yeah,
so you can still see the original full message. And the third thing they've talked about is business accounts. So this looks to be the first actual monetization that they're looking at doing. And this will be if you're a business with a Twitter account, and they won't force you to pay, but if you have a paid account, they're looking to have better analytics and metrics behind it. So if you're a big business and wanting to drive revenue, then that would be helpful for you.
Interesting to see the costing, because I'm sure there's plenty of vain people out there that want to see those kind of stats for their own personal accounts as well. So there'll be people willing to pay, I'm sure.
Yeah, a digital outbox account will pay for that, I don't think. Right, moving back to mobile. Chris, you had some updates on Windows Mobile.
Yeah, well, it's just that Windows Mobile 7 has been in development for a very long time now. Well, certainly the talk of the development of it for a long time. But now it appears that Microsoft are almost backing out of it a little bit, in that next year they're going to try and run two concurrent versions. So they're going to have Windows Mobile 6.5, which is an incremental upgrade on the version 6 that's out there now, but also have Windows Mobile 7 out on specific and, well, certain manufacturers and hardware, basically. So that Windows Mobile 7 is going to be far more touchscreen orientated and far more friendly for non-stylus use and things like that. But you know, it's just that they've sort of acknowledged that they've been really slow with this, and they're trying to catch up. But it will be with, you know, specific hardware, because they realise that the focus that Apple have got with being able to just develop for one piece of hardware is really useful.
Mm.
And they're kind of stretching themselves across as, you know, multiple pieces of hardware is actually holding them back. So they've gone for this split route, it appears.
Which sounds a bit strange, but it's, I mean, it's always the same argument I've had for it must be. And it's difficult to develop in Windows compared to Mac. You know, you're targeting a set number of platforms, whereas Windows, it's a infinite possibility of components and drivers, etc. I guess it's the same for developing for iPhone.
You know, I'm not sure about this idea. I think they should try to follow Apple's lead and just have one core OS. And then maybe have like additional features for more powerful handsets.
Yeah, I mean,
for example, we've got 3GS and we've got the 3G.
Yeah.
And then they're still running the same core.
Yeah, the operating system's the same.
Yeah.
It's launching things, and I guess the fact, you know, I've got videos, so you can see there's a difference there, but that's about it. I mean, as a consumer, I'd be pretty confused as to what I'm buying.
Mm.
You know, what is the latest out of both of these if they're both going to be sold and marketed at the same
time?
And
some people are like more tech-minded. They might feel, I don't want 6.5, I want 7. You know what I mean? And then there'll be all this confusion over that.
Confusion?
It'll be interesting to see the new 7 anyway, because it sounds like it's going to be a much nicer experience, certainly, than the 6.5.
Yeah.
So interested in that.
It's been years since I've seen a Windows mobile phone, I've got to be honest. Yeah. The last one,
to be honest,
it
hasn't changed
horrible.
Too much. I mean, it's pretty much the same as it was, you know, years ago, but just maybe a few tweaks here and there.
Yeah. I mean, I remember years ago, me and Ian used to have the discussion, like, you know, why are they trying to squeeze in, like, Windows into a mobile? You know, they should maybe have a much lighter OS for the mobile devices. And I've always hated it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm the same. I guess I've just got a bad taste from, I'm sure it was about 3 years ago. It was the last one that I saw, and it was just really slow.
Mm.
And it was running out of, you know, apps would run out of memory. Like, again, you know, it was all just a bit yucky. But as you said,
let's see what happens. Yeah.
Yep, 7 should be interesting. Steam, are you Chris? Video adverts?
Yeah, and just a quickie, really. Very minority report, but in America, they're going to release a magazine called Entertainment Weekly, which is going to have an actual video screen embedded in one of the pages. So that you can actually have, it's going to be adverts to start with, but actually a video running in the magazine. So sounds pretty interesting to me. I just hadn't seen this coming at all, and suddenly it popped up as a story, and I just wanted to get it out there, really.
So when is that going to launch? Is that?
I believe it's this next episode of Entertainment Weekly in America. It's only local to, I think, New York and maybe Los Angeles. So they're not releasing it fully. But it's interesting that, you know, it's obviously going to cost a lot more for the advertiser to put that into a magazine, but they're willing to do it to get their advert known.
I just saw this report just before we started recording as well, and one thing I couldn't figure out, and I don't know whether, Chris, you know this, the screen that they're putting in, is that, like, flexible type of screen? Can you bend it?
As far as I know, it's flexible enough, because this is quite a high-quality magazine anyway.
Right.
So it's flexible enough to not sit and be awkward on the page, but...
Yeah.
But I imagine it does make a difference. But probably no more than having, you know, a card insert in a magazine does.
I wonder what happens, like, when you finish a magazine, what do you do with it? Do you just throw it out and, you know, all that?
I imagine at the moment it's going to be a bit of a gimmick, isn't it? I would even buy a magazine, I think, to see one of these things
to start with.
Yeah. It's not going to happen after a while. You know, if it picks up and catches on, it's not going to be such
I wonder if they're going to increase the price of the magazine then with this in it, or whether they're...
I think the advertiser would probably have to cover that cost.
Yeah. And I can see the first one selling out, and even just like put folk buying them and put them on eBay, you know, just so you're getting, you know, people outside these areas can go and pick a copy up.
I wouldn't be surprised if this first one coming out does cost more, because they know people are going to want to buy it.
Oh, definitely.
I guess this is the start of getting these, you know, that e-ink technology and these sort of foldable screens that they've been talking about for years, you know, where you can buy newspapers. You buy one screen and basically the newspaper sort of like refreshes every day or every week sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see this as slightly different. I mean, that's probably more hardware-based. This is kind of throwaway, you know, a bit of kit. But yeah, for sure.
I guess that's a bit I'm surprised about, but it is actually throwaway. You know, if you look at something like the Kindle, and fair enough, it's black and white and maybe doesn't do what everybody wants, but...
Mm.
And I know everybody's talking about tablets right now, whether it's the CrunchPad or Apple are going to bring a tablet out, but that kind of form factor and getting your I guess, getting your newspaper via subscription. You know, it could have as much video content as you like.
Yeah, exactly. It's a much more sensible approach to take with video, but, you know, as I say, gimmicks, you know, getting a lot of advertising at the moment.
When they first started giving away CDs and magazines, people used to think, oh, I'm not going to throw away this CD, you know, it's like... now it's like...
Seems silly now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, moving on to Apple. And I think it was about 3 weeks ago that the FCC announced this inquiry into the Google Voice rejection. So AT&T, Apple, Google have all now responded to the set of questions, and we'll put in the show notes the links to all the responses. I guess what was quite interesting, Apple are saying that they've not rejected the Google Voice app, but they're looking at it still, which seems a bit silly. They're saying they're not too fussed about the kind of network implications. It's all the how it affects using the iPhone, and it'll confuse the users because it takes away from things like visual voicemail and how text messaging works. They've also said it was them and them alone, so AT&T had nothing to do with this. And they also, what was quite interesting, they've actually put in some answers to how the review process works. So they've got 40 full-time employees looking at iPhone app reviews. There's always two people will go through each app, and there's now an App Store Executive Review Board, which is reviewing any rejections, and they do that on a weekly basis. And I guess also it's the volume that surprised me. There's 8,500 new apps and updates a week, which is a fair number to review. And if you've only got 40 reviewers, that's quite a lot you need to do per day.
Well, their inboxes aren't going to be looking good, are they?
No.
No. I think I saw something just before we came online about these reviewers, that some of them have to look at up to 80 apps per day.
Yeah, well, I guess just based on the averages, that's what you'd have to do.
It's not surprising they sort of pick up on something that's in there that they know is on their watch list, and then they just reject it straight away.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got to get through 80 a day,
exactly.
You're just going to see something straight away.
You're going to do 80 a day, and mistakes will happen, even if there's two people looking at it.
Yeah.
So that was Apple's response. Google's response, there was quite a lot of redacted content in it, so you couldn't really see the full response from them. AT&T's was basically nothing to do with us. We're all quite open, and we've rejected Slingbox and other apps, and we're involved in that rejection, but not this one. Google's was more talking about how their Android platform is open compared to the iPhone. And then there's, of course, this redacted statements. The only thing I thought was interesting is that with Apple saying they've not rejected the actual Google Voice application, and that may be true, but there was two other applications that were unofficial Google Voice apps in the App Store, which sold for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they were rejected at the same time as Google Voice's app wasn't allowed in the store. So it's might... And in the true sense of the word, they might not be lying about the Google Voice one in that they are still looking at that particular app, but they have rejected the other two. I still think ultimately we'll soon see Google Voice as an app in the App Store.
I think that will be the outcome of this as well. I think that seems the direction it's heading in.
The last few weeks I've seen certainly a lot of negative press around the App Store, but there does seem to be changes there. There's even one I picked up on a couple of days ago, that emulators aren't allowed in the App Store, and that was something that was always prohibited as part of the OS release. They said quite clearly they wouldn't have emulators. But one of the developers of a Commodore 64 emulator seemingly had a senior Apple rep contact him and said, they can't say any more, but just we'll keep in touch because there's big news coming. So I don't know if that means with 3.1, which is rumoured to be September, whether that will see an opening up or a relaxing of these rules, which would be great because I'd love a SNES emulator on my iPhone.
Oh yes,
that would just be fantastic. So one to keep our eye on. Hopefully that's an improving story, and from us with iPhones.
You know, I think one thing we've sort of said before, anyway, is Apple are sort of leading this charge with their App Store and apps. And they're bound to be making lots of mistakes and learning from them. And hopefully people like Microsoft will follow up with their own App Store, I'm pretty sure, Well, in fact, they have one already, haven't they?
Yeah, there's you can see them coming up everywhere now for big devices.
And there's a screenshot come out for Zune HD, which I think was only yesterday, which seems to show a hidden option for apps, which they've denied up to now. But I wouldn't be surprised if that is some sort of surprise announcement that, by the way, we're launching Zune HD and yes, we will have apps on it. Which I think we covered a couple of weeks ago, and that one of the Twitter iPhone app developers has been approached already. Yeah. So I think everybody's going to have some sort of app platform.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll learn from Apple's mistakes.
Again, I think it's about being open and honest, isn't it? There still seems to be a few bits and bobs which don't sound that open and honest.
No.
Evil Apple.
And it would just... Well, no, it's not even that. I agree that they are trying to forge the path, aren't they? And they are making mistakes. But partly some of these angry things are coming out have just been because their path is, let's block everything because we've got 8,500 a day and then allow them through as and when we get around to actually analysing.
It's not even block everything. It's the be open and upfront and tell us what we can't do. You know, you can see with some apps that have been developed and then people have said, well, I've been blocked. And it's like, well, there's a clear violation of some sort of rule that they have been open with. But there's other apps that have been blocked and there's no way of knowing until you've actually submitted it and it's been rejected. Mm-hmm. And that's a frustration for me. Be open and honest about what somebody can and can't do.
It's probably because they don't have a set of rules that they can't dish out. Yeah. Because like as they admit, they're kind of making it up as they go along. Yeah. What I don't believe is that, I think AT&T have a fair amount of say. I know Apple have said, we have the final and final say on everything.
AT&T,
but then they go on to admit that AT&T do have a say in several aspects of what gets accepted.
AT&T, I think, were consulted in some of the video streaming apps. But with anything with a Google Voice, I mean, AT&T are saying it was nothing to do with us, and Apple have agreed, said it was nothing to do with them either. This is purely us looking after the actual usability.
But they did go on to talk about voice over IP and how AT&T do have a say over that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how Google Voice works, but I assume there is an element of voice over IP in it.
No, I don't think there is.
No?
No. Okay. I don't think there is. But
fair enough.
Hopefully that'll be it. I mean, I'd still like to ultimately see Google Voice as an app on the iPhone. Moving on, iPhone 3GS is the best-selling phone in Japan. Fantastic news.
It's great news, but it's also kind of surprising, because I think recently it's not been selling in Japan at all, because Japanese people, because of the sort of mobile networks they have there, people are quite used to streaming like TV and sort of like media onto their iPhones. And I think iPhone has, well, the 3G certainly, it's been lacking some of the video capabilities.
Yeah.
And I think even when it launched, it was, I think Japanese people found it a bit expensive. So now it's basically been given away for free.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's, everybody's just bought into it. And
I think that is the reason.
The Japanese mobile phone market, if we went over there, I mean, I don't have any personal experience, but if we went over there, we wouldn't recognise any handset,
any service,
anything like that. So it's a very different space. So
yeah.
The fact that they're now the biggest selling over there is, I guess it's a good statement of how good their hardware is now they've got it out there.
I mean, the thing that always amazes me is when you see, I guess it's Western journalists over in Japan, and, it's like people are using their phone to watch telly, watch movies, play lots of games, social interact a lot more than we do here, pay for things, so that's our money as well. And it's stuff that's all been, it'd be great if we had that here. It's already happening.
I mean, they've been doing it for a while, which is probably why it's a bit more mature.
Exactly.
Because their networks have been able to support it. I mean, our networks arguably still can't really support everything we want them to at the moment.
No. I mean, it's a whole infrastructure thing. It's not even just, the networks, but it's having all the hardware at all the shops to support everything as well. iPhone. I don't know. I actually don't know if this is a good story or not.
I don't think it is.
No, iPhone has become the most popular camera on Flickr.
I think it's quite interesting, considering the fact that there are other mobile devices out there that can take pictures a lot better than the iPhone can. And the fact that some people, well, you hear a lot of people saying, I would never buy an iPhone because it's Apple. So you think there'll be a lot more mobile phone camera photos taken by other mobile phones that should be up on Flickr. Yeah, iPhone becomes the most popular. It's kind of bizarre.
I don't think you can overestimate the fact that you can actually dump all your photos straight up onto Flickr with your iPhone straight away, can't you?
There's,
you don't have to wait till you get back to your desktop.
But you can with the other phones as well, because I had a Nokia N73 before I got the iPhone, and you could, using the, was it Shozu?
Yeah, Shozu.
You could upload pictures to Flickr quite easily. So
I just think people use their iPhones differently.
Yeah, because of the way they're marketed. Right, yeah. I still feel with my iPhone, that's the first time I felt like I've got a mobile computer in my phone.
It's just having the unlimited in inverted commas, web application, minutes and things like that on the websites.
Yeah.
Data transfer is. It just makes you use your phone very differently, because before I would have thought, well, on my phone I won't upload it because it's going to use up X number of megabytes, and so I might as well wait till I get home.
Even before I had the iPhone, I can't remember, some Sony Ericsson piece of junk. It wasn't a piece of junk, actually, it was a really nice phone. But I had a boat on which gave me unlimited internet.
Yeah,
and even
I still
didn't think to upload as much as I do now.
I think that's that you as mentioned much that.
You wouldn't have had a browser to do it properly anyway, would you?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I remember.
And I think this is the problem. It was using Shozu, which was Java-based, which took quite a while to load.
Yeah.
Tended to crash quite a bit. The interface was a bit fugly. Because I remember there was, like, you would see things uploading, and after maybe a couple of minutes uploading, eventually a tick would appear. And that's how you would know it was there. But it was all a bit, my screen's disappeared. Is that app still running? And it was really quite unintuitive.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of the problem. It's just too easy to use.
As they're talking like that, it's amazing how far the sphere's moved on now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally different.
I just fire up, it's an app called Flickr that I use.
Yeah.
I use that.
It's free, fire it up, tag it, away it goes.
Yep. One of my friends came over Friday, I think, and he's got a new Sony Ericsson, which has something like an 8.1 megapixel camera.
Ooh, nice.
And actually, to be honest with you, the phone looked really nice. It looked really, really nice keyboard. It was one of these slidey ones. Nice screen. And he hates Apple with a passion. But he did buy into an iPod Touch a few months ago. So I was talking to him about it. I said, oh, that's a nice looking phone. And he said to me, he goes, it's a nice phone. He goes, but to be honest with you, he goes, I just love my iPod Touch. He goes, I can surf the web and do everything, take photos with the Sony Ericsson. He goes, but I don't. He goes, I use my iPod Touch for everything else, and the mobile phone is just used for making calls.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, there's a couple of people that have a Touch at work.
Yeah.
And they just, because they didn't care about, they didn't want to spend £35 a month.
Yeah.
And fair enough. I've covered this before, where I work, I don't get any Wi-Fi. So the 3G is essential for me.
Yeah.
So it just rolls out of touch. But the only reason I was a bit down in the story was, yes, the iPhone's popular, but, I guess I've always thought of Flickr as being more than just a place for mobile phone images.
Mm.
But then maybe that is getting quite important. I just want to pull out, maybe it's got to a certain quality that's acceptable. And I'd rather have something that I can launch and it's quick and easy and I can take the photo.
Yeah.
And capture it rather than carrying around I've not got a big camera like you, but you know what I mean?
Yep. I think, like what Chris said, that's how people are starting to use it now, it's changed. Maybe a lot of people are using it like they use Facebook, quickly take a photo and upload it. They're not bothered about quality.
Definitely.
To be honest, that's how I use my Flickr account, really. I'm not anywhere near a photographer, but I just use it like without having to publish it all on Facebook and make it generally available through that.
Yeah, I don't even know why I use Flickr over Facebook. I don't think I've even published photos in Facebook.
Facebook take all your rights?
I've no idea.
Yeah.
At least Flickr leaves it. It's your photo still.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a bit awkward to go, that's all. But it's another story for another day.
Aye.
The TomTom GPS car kit. It's quite a surprise with this, but actually it will work with a touch. And also it should help other apps, so not just TomTom's own, but it should help, is it Navigon and Copilot?
Yep.
Is it completely taking over the GPS of the app, the phone then?
As far as I understand, if you plug this in, I'm guessing it must be disabling the one that's built in, but it's got a...
Is it adding to it, but it does that as a separate service rather than...
What I had read was it was a separate GPS chip inside the TomTom hardware.
Yeah, I think I read that it does sort of augment the GPS built into the iPhone, but I could be wrong.
Mm.
But yeah.
I guess details at some point.
Yeah. Yep. And they're still, I don't think it's out there. So we just need to wait for it to be launched properly in a review. More rumours, just to kind of keep Chris happy.
Oh, yes.
Is that the rumoured music event is now September 9th.
I thought that was fairly solid now rather than a rumour.
But no? I wouldn't want to disappoint you and
wishing too much
and make you think that we only do
for
what
a simple
fact.
Date.
iPods, iTunes, no tablet, and also Beatles. What was quite interesting was I was Googling for some of this stuff through the week. The same rumours about Beatles and tablets and Blu-ray for iTunes round about August 2008. So,
yeah. Exactly. Just, so it's coming from the community, this tablet news, isn't it? It's not coming from Apple, I'm sure.
There's a few. I think some of the more prominent bloggers that seem to have contacts are saying that they're getting told it's 2010 for the tablet, it's not this time.
It's probably because they need that long to find out what they want to do with it.
Yeah, I still think they'll launch it and nobody will buy it. I just can't see a reason why. But even the Blu-ray stuff around about iTunes, that was the same rumour as last year. So I guess we wait for September 9th. And the final bit of Apple news is Twitterific 2.1 update. Sharky, I think you use Twitterific now, don't you?
I do, yep. I'm actually surprised it's come out because I thought it wouldn't come out until maybe the next podcast. It's out, and actually it's quite nice. They've added an absolute ton of new features, and not obvious ones, but like little tweaks here and there. There's a lot more sort of like touch-sensitive stuff in there. So, for example, if I wanted to block a user, I used to either use a web or launch Tweety and then find the user that was following me and block them. That was missing, so they've added that in now. There's the web browser that's built into it. You can now rotate your iPhone in a landscape mode, and you know that sort of rotates as well, which is quite nice.
Yeah, that bugs me in Tweety, which doesn't do that.
Oh, right, I thought it did.
Maybe it does now. I haven't checked for a while, but it bugs me. I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think just overall it just looks a lot nicer as well. They've updated the contact sheets now. There's a new icon on the toolbar, and when you click on it, you've got almost like a full-length tabbed window where you can sort of quickly browse through people who are following you, the people that you're following, your latest tweets, etc. And so there's a lot of information now just at your fingertips, whereas before you would maybe have to go through different menus to find it all. Now it's all there.
Do you think it's a stronger app now than Tweety is?
Well, I've been using Twitterific 2 instead of Tweety for a while anyway, and I thought at that time I think that they both had their pros and cons. Now it's like I have no reason to go into Tweety anymore, because the only reason I did that before was to block users, and now I can do that with Twitterific 2.
Yeah, I might take a look.
Yeah, I've had a little sneaky peek myself, and I think I still find Tweety just slightly faster, but I think Twitterific's got far more features in it. And the one I really liked was when you do a new tweet, and you get a little kind of contacts address book thing, you can just click on it, and then if I want to send it to three or four people and I can't remember their names, you know, what they're at, so I can just pick it off.
In fact, I just forgot one of the major features in this update is video recording and uploading straight from Twitterific 2.1, which will be good for you, Ian.
Oh, well, I'm going to do one tonight then. So, a very quick run through Apple for a change. Who says we're biased in this show? Moving on to what I think is probably the biggest news of the week, and that's in our gadget section, and it was from the Gamescom. Through the week, Sony had a lot of announcements. Sharky, would you like to take us through some of them?
Yep, certainly can. I guess the biggest news for me wasn't the launch of the unveiling of PS3 Slim. It was actually the price cut, because I think a lot of the big... Sorry, what was that? There's a sound effect that I want to say, but I might be a bit too explicit there.
Oh, go on, say it now.
No.
You need to.
Shit.
You told me not to say that.
So anyway, going back to this story, you know, like EA have been banging on about this, and I think so have Activision, that we need a price cut,
There's a few of them put it out, give us a price cut, Sony.
Yeah. Sony went, no, we will not cut our prices.
So, yeah, now they have, and at the same time, they're launching the PS3 Slim, which looks all right. I think I prefer the look of the original PS3, but this one looks okay as well. It'll be launched in the first week of September worldwide. Prices are a bit iffy. It's €299 worldwide, $299 in the US, and $249 in the UK. I think it should have been $199, but that's just me. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can see the...
I think Sony is still suffering from hardware component costs.
Yeah.
But also they, you know, getting any price cut at this time of our economic slowdown is probably a good thing, really.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is when they're using a smaller chip and it's supposedly it's more economical, and there's now Blu-ray players coming around £100 mark.
Yeah.
You know, so
which is obviously a big selling point for the original. It was always cheaper than the Blu-ray.
I thought they would be hitting nearer $199.
I'd be much more tempted if it was $199, especially if, you know, some of the big releases when they're coming towards fruition.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's quite easy to forget because it's in competition with the Xbox, obviously, but people need to remember that you do get all the sort of Wi-Fi stuff built in, and you've got a HD player, high-def player in there. So
I still think it's good value. I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually think a $250 for that console, I think, is really good value.
Yeah. So this new one is 30% lighter than the current model, 32% smaller.
Ooh.
And how do they work that out, 32%?
I'm sure they've got some brainiac in there.
No, it's called a computer and it's told them it's 34% smaller.
And it uses 34% less power, which I think is a big bonus.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Yeah. Whether that means they've added like a second fan in there to sort of cope with the heat, I'm not sure. I think it'll be a lot quieter than the current one.
I've got to be honest, I think the current one's fine from a noise point of view. I mean, compared to the 360... It's just night and day.
Yeah. One thing I liked about this one is it seems to have like a matte finish on top.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I prefer the look of the old one.
I prefer the look of the old one.
The glossy finish. And I don't mind the glossy finish, but
it's just a dust magnet, isn't it?
But even if you try and remove the dust, it just seems to... You can't actually get it off the surface.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still buy, obviously, the original style, can't you? And in fact,
you can for the moment, and they've
dropped the price slightly, but they've only dropped it to the price of the new slim version, and obviously you get less with it because the hard disk's only half the size. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm. Well, but the only thing is, it looks like some places are doing deals. So I know Shop2 is doing a deal where they're selling the current version, so the big one, and that's for $230 including postage, and that's starting next week.
But they're still trying to make the original obsolete. They obviously don't want to run both, do they? So
I am assuming so. Mm. I mean, to me, it'll just be you'll have the PS3 Slim and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget, 120 gig drive in there is not to be sniffed at either.
Yeah.
Definitely. Which is removable from what I saw.
Yeah, there's Engadget put a video up, and it's actually, I mean, it's not like some shady way of doing it either. There's you remove a little plate underneath, there's a screw inside, take the screw out, and you can take the hard drive out and put your own in, which I was quite surprised at.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of tutorials out there showing you how to do it with the current one as well, but obviously it's not as easy as this one will be.
And this doesn't void your warranty, it's done with Sony's blessing.
Yes. But there's also, I don't know if you saw, they're talking, I don't think it's been officially agreed, but that seemingly the chip speed's faster. So not only is it smaller, but faster.
I did read about that, but I'm not sure whether they'll take advantage of that at the moment or not.
And there's the extra audio support as well.
Yeah.
So, I was really impressed, actually. I mean, I've got a PS3, it wouldn't make me go out and buy the smaller one. There's no need to replace.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think I'm more happy with the price cut because I think that's some people just, you know, there's that magic price point, they just won't pay more than that, and I think this might help.
I think that's the only thing. I think that price point's $199. You know, I think it's £200 to go and buy a console.
Yeah. No, I mean,
how much is the Elite now? How much does the Elite cost?
Oh,
isn't that around 250?
I've no idea.
So I think it's somewhere around there.
I'll have a look while you guys are chatting away.
Yeah. I mean, the new Slim is obviously great as long as you don't want to stand it on its edge, because that's going to cost you another $24.
Yeah. I thought that was a bit snidey, because I have mine standing up. And I just thought, you know, the fact that it can't stand on its own and they've charged you $24 for a stand, which I'm going to be £20 here.
Yeah. Do you think it doesn't stand on its edge, or do you think they've just put the stand in because it's
not
as stable as the existing one?
No, there was a video
of
somebody
one.
Standing on its edge and it toppled over.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
probably Xbox, $24 well spent then if you do want to stand it.
Xbox 360 Elite is $220.
Okay, so it's cheap.
And that's with 120 gig drive, so it is. You know,
but then you need to remember that it won't have built-in wireless and
no,
it won't have an HD
player. It doesn't
player.
Have Blu-ray.
Yep.
Fair dues.
And it also has good games.
Yep. And I think that there's a difference there as well, because obviously a lot of people who play games now, I play them on the Xbox, and for someone to make the jump to PS3, it's not just that PS3 doesn't have the same games, it's the friends list, isn't it? You can't make all your friends jump ship as well, so... Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I'm seeing more and more Xbox people starting to buy PS3s now.
Yeah.
No. Do you know, I think that's partly due to the fact that we're not going to see new hardware.
Yeah.
You know, people are thinking, you know, people want to see those different games and thinking, well, I would have spent the money on new hardware.
Yeah.
That's not coming, so why not get another one? I think they're going to have more and more people with both consoles.
Yeah. I think also as well, it's just, I think people are just fed up with red rings, you know, and unreliability.
50%. I read a report about 50% failure rate on Xbox 360,
which is,
and that's
shocking.
Shocking.
Well, the thing it's like, you know, if mine pops now, that's me out of warranty totally, so I'd have to pay to get it fixed. So do you go and buy one of the newer ones? So if you didn't have a PS3 right now, and we're in this period where I guess we're all waiting for the big games coming out, if your Xbox pops, what do? Do you go and buy a Blu-ray player as well as a games console that has all the, most of the, you know, a lot of the titles are shared now, and it's just a choice of looking at, well, where's the AAA titles that are exclusive?
Well, one thing I found a bit surprising about that report about Xbox failure rates was a lot of people said it didn't bother them anymore. They were like quite happy with it. And I thought, really?
I've got to be honest, that whole thing got right in my tits.
Yeah.
Because it seems to... I don't know anybody that's not failed on.
Mm.
And it's already saying the failure rate's 50%, but I know that the guys that I all game with, it's failed for everybody.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I don't know anyone that hasn't failed for, but it has to be said they dealt with it very well. They dealt with it in a good way, and
eventually.
Most people didn't have to pay, and those that did pay got it refunded.
Yeah, but from a product point of view, the reliability of that is, I think, the worst electronics device I have ever owned or seen.
Yeah, and it was obviously a failure in design. Mine seems to be running fine now, but yeah, at least they did it in a good, you know, they responded to the problem.
Yeah. So there was also some software announcements regarding PS3.
They will be launching, this is Sony again, they will be launching a PS3 video store, which will be launching in Europe in November. And just like iTunes, you'll be able to rent or buy HD and standard definition videos.
I guess they didn't go into prices or anything like that?
No, nothing yet. It's kind of, I don't know, I find that a little bit intriguing. I don't know whether I will buy or rent any videos, but I will need to wait and see like how quickly the video starts to download and what sort of quality is it, because I'm always suspicious of any of these, you know, buy videos online, because I think, is it, they say it's HD, but has it been like heavily compressed or anything like that? So I need to sort of find
there's
that
now
out.
Quite a lot of choice. Now you've got iTunes, Xbox has got a market, that'll be the PS3, you've got Box Office on Sky, you know, similar on Virgin.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Blockbusters.
And sticking with software, there's the PS3 Firmware 3 will be out on the 1st of September. Normally, I don't really get too excited about firmware updates.
Yes, you do.
I don't. Well, I think I used to initially, because I used to have like new features, but then recently it's just sort of like there's been nothing major.
Well, I think that initially the PS3 ones were, I always kind of was looking forward to them because it...
They were
so far behind, you know, and fair play to them, they've been quite aggressive, you know, they've eventually caught up.
It does seem that they've matured their platform quite a lot. Since the initial.
Yeah. You know, if you look at what they launched compared to what was on the 360, it was night and day. Mm. But you can't see that now. The only thing I still think that hurts them is just the non-standard, you know, mics. But anyway, that's a different story. So what's new in firmware 3?
Graphically, I think it's probably the animated themes, which might not be a big deal, but I think I always found that the PS3 look and feel was a little bit bland compared to the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will add a bit more punch to it. Some of the videos I saw looked quite nice, actually, especially the Little Big Planet theme. So that looked nice. Other features, there's a What's New section now. So instead of having to launch the store, PSN store, you can now...
Yeah, that would be really handy.
Yeah.
And something that the redesign in the 360, I mean, it does let you get to the content a lot quicker than it used to.
Yeah.
And being able just to, when I saw a video of this, being able just to like see that on your home screen, you know, really easily and say, that's new, that's what I want. I just get that, please.
Well, one thing I noticed about that was if you've like downloaded any games recently, you can easily find them in that What's New section. So you can just go in there and they'll be, you know, like the last maybe two or three
cool.
recent games.
That'll be a really nice change.
Yep. Other things, there's going to be like BBC iPlayer will have his, I don't know whether it's going to be its own app or there to, you know, so you won't have to basically launch the browser to find BBC iPlayer.
That definitely interests me. That is
really nice.
Pretty good.
That's something when we looked at Plex before, you know, it was something that was really, you know, it was nice just to be able to go into the app and get the content rather than going through a browser.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping in future they will add other things. You know, instead of just the iPlayer, there'll be maybe Hulu or, you know, like in Plex, you've got like Warner Brothers channels, you've got Universal. Maybe that would be really nice to have all of that in there.
Eventually. Well, especially as it's still, I mean, they're still talking, or everybody's assuming it's 4 to 5 years before the next version of the console. You know, if you think about, you know, what software changes happen in 5 years.
Yeah. You know, I think that's quite good because they can use that time to focus on software instead of hardware and try to catch up with Xbox.
No, definitely.
Well, I definitely want iPlayer on my Xbox. If they can do it on Sony, then I want it for my Xbox.
Well, that's the whole thing about me. We've touched on that a couple of times, whether it's phones, I mean, competition. I mean, if you remember, the codec support on the 360 was fairly limited when it first came out. And I think about a month before the PS3 launched, they did an update and it caught right up with the PS3 because PS3 was very open compared to the 360. And that's just, to me, is just an example of competition driving the market.
Yeah.
Cool. So, anything else in firmware 3? Or is that the main changes?
Other things, they just said other interface tweaks, so nothing major that I can think of.
I think that's out right at the start of September, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it now.
I don't know if you saw, there was also PS3 Home was getting some changes as well.
I saw the headline, but I don't really bother with Home stuff, so tell us about it.
Well, I'll just, a couple of things that I thought were a bit more interesting, and I hate Home. So, instead of just, previously it was only games that supported Home that you could launch from within Home, but it's now any game. So if me and you were in Home and we said we wanted to go and play a game, instead of signing out of Home and waiting for that to shut down and waiting to go back to the actual game menus itself and then launching the game and inviting you in, we can just launch a game from straight within Home.
That's good.
And there's no sign outs, it just automatically starts up the game. And I'm assuming it would keep you know, the two of you then going to play the game.
Cool.
In-store items, and this is a bit that really, you know, hacks me off about Home. To me, it's just all about selling you stuff.
Yeah.
It's a bit like avatars in the 360. It's not about being cutesy. It's just about making money. You can now preview an item before you buy it. And they're also introducing portable objects. So these are objects you'll actually take with you, so you can get like a bubble machine, so you can walk around and blow bubbles. One of them that was quite interesting was everybody's going to get a free camera. So with a camera, you can then take a picture from first or third person view, and they're automatically saved to your photos in XMB.
You're talking about
the average
virtual camera.
Age of gamers?
Yeah.
You're talking about a virtual camera, but once you have equipped the camera, you can then take a picture in the home environment. I don't think within games.
Okay.
That's so one of the things I always talked about, or what was rumored, was a universal and I'm sure it was in the PS3 they talked about, it was some sort of way of doing a universal snapping of pictures or even recording video.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never came. That would something that would really interest me. You know, yeah. So instead of a developer having to support it, if that was just part of your dashboard, whether it was 360 or PS3, and you could just, you know, press a button, record this, upload it to YouTube. You know, and it's things like that, it'd be like, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, I think one thing, some of the things that they're doing, not everybody will like Home. A lot of people hate it, some people love it.
Mm.
But I think it's good that they're actually trying different things to see what works and what doesn't. Because you never know, that, you know, that's how good ideas come about. You've got to try it and see.
Yeah.
So
Sony also showed quite a lot of the upcoming games,
yeah,
didn't they? So, I looked at Uncharted 2, and it just looks...
that just looks better and better every time I see it.
That, for me, looks the standout game of the year.
Mm,
graphically, it just looks amazing.
Yeah.
Heavy Rain, I didn't actually look at that.
You've not seen that? It's, you know, like up until now they've focused on this female reporter character.
Yeah.
This trailer, the new one, features this, it's a man, and it's all about his son, and basically it seems to be like he's like a single father or something like that. So the theme is basically about love, and I think the kid gets kidnapped by this the origami killer. And so the guy goes out to investigate. So it's all, the trailer is all based about this guy trying to find his son. And at one point in the trailer, you do see him like coming in contact with that female reporter. So it's all like different plots, you know, and characters getting involved in each other's plot sort of thing. So it looks really interesting. I'm not going to write that off. Yeah, I know some people are saying, oh, it's got like, you know, that quick time.
Well, that's what puts me off. It's all these quick time events. It just looks like an HD Shenmue. We said it before, yeah. And I still can't get away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I might end up being exactly that, but I'm sort of like hoping it'll be a little bit more. So
she, I'd. For me, it's just like it looks lovely, but I won't be buying it.
Yeah. What about Little Big Planet? Did you see any of the?
I saw the water.
It looks quite nice. I mean, you're probably the same as me. I haven't touched it for a while. So.
How often do you play it?
Sorry?
How often do you play it?
I've not played it for months.
No.
No.
Which is
think we need to try out like two player one day, maybe just to see.
Yeah.
Shit.
I think that was God of War.
Oh my god, that I wet my pants every time I see that game. There were some screenshots I saw, and they just look like pre-renders. But then you read the article, and they're actually in-game screenshots.
Mm.
The game just looks absolutely incredible.
Some of the developers are clearly getting to hang with the PlayStation hardware, aren't they? They're starting to control it and be able to make something look beautiful.
Got to be honest, it's taken a long time. I mean, all that bull that they came out with at the start, saying we're so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm even still reading articles on Edge where it was ID talking about their new game, and they're just saying how it's, you know, processing wise, 360 and PS3 quite similar, but there's just certain technology in the 360 they can take advantage of, and it just gets that's why the frame rates have always been or always appeared to be better, and it's taking so long to, you know, program around that now.
Left 4 Dead's not coming out on PlayStation 3 for those reasons, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
They can't spend the time doing
it. There's for that, aren't there? There's more sort of commercial reasons, I think.
I don't know. I mean, if you remember the first year that the both, you know, like when Madden and FIFA came out for both platforms, I mean, it was night and day. I mean, the PS3 ones are all running at 30 frames per second. You know, and it was just if you compared both of them, it was night and day. And fair enough, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I think it's a bit like how the Saturn used to be really difficult to program. Yeah. You know, and
again, I think PlayStation are going to benefit far more from having this longer cycle on the hardware, because now
definitely.
Each, you know, game development and companies will have their own tools, or they'll develop their tools now, which they can then reuse. And so it looks like from these games that they're doing a good job now.
I guess a question for probably Chris more than us, because we've got a PS3, but are you looking at the PS3 now more as a more interesting platform with these changes?
Yeah, definitely. And again, I'll repeat, because I'm not going to get new Xbox hardware, I might be looking for, you know, a new kicker from something, and maybe the PlayStation 3 on a better price footing and with more games there.
That's the big thing, it's always the games. From a games console point of view, or as
definitely a games console. Definitely as a games console.
Games, okay.
And I don't have any Blu-ray discs, yeah. And you know, still hundreds of DVDs that I haven't watched yet. So
I think whenever you do get it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I think at its media capabilities, because it can upscale your standard DVDs as well,
And it does. And the upscaling is reasonable. It's a lot better than the 360.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I'm interested in, but we'll see. And it's only becoming interesting now because it has got games at its core, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing that I've seen a rumour for, but I couldn't really find any more today, was that it might be GT5 or Gran Turismo in December. But I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
I've never seen a game talked about for so long without ever
amazing, isn't
putting
it?
A release date out. PSP. Okay.
Well, before we hit PSP, there was one more thing. They didn't actually... just one more thing. They haven't actually showed anything at the Gamescom, but they have mentioned that in September at the Tokyo Game Show that they'll be showing more of the motion control stuff. That they've been developing.
Right, okay.
There is a video available, I think, somewhere, where there's like just a rerun of, you know, like previous videos, and it actually looks really, really nice.
Mm.
So, yeah, need to wait till next month for that.
And also,
I'm still
more
yet to be convinced by all these motion controller things, but
yeah, of course, yeah.
One more thing, Pixel Junk Shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't wait to play that.
That looks really nice.
It just looks awesome. So PSP. So PSP Go. If you register that you've bought it within the first 10 days of release, you get GT for free.
Yeah.
And also, they're bringing some mini games out. The mini games are going to be limited to 100 meg each, so very much look like kind of iPhone-y type size games. And in fact, I've actually got a few iPhone games that are going to be available. So Field Runners, Hero of Sparta, Tetris, and Minigore are actually going to be available as PSP mini games. So again, we talked about it earlier on. It's just another platform having an app store. It looks like, except
have you got
focused.
A PSP at the moment?
Yeah, I've still got one, yeah.
Have you ever connected to the PSN from that?
No.
Just to see what it's like? No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's just one of these things. It's just so much hassle. It's too big.
Right.
That, okay. I think that is the nicest bit of hardware I've probably owned. The screen on it is still gorgeous.
Yeah.
The amount of functionality in it is great, but it's too big.
Hmm.
You know, so from like carrying it around, even, you know, when I'm sitting in an airport, I want to pull that out. You know, the iPhone, for me, it's just the right size, the right package.
Okay.
With an iPhone, you can pretend to be making a call or doing something business-related.
and kind of.
Yeah.
Xbox didn't really announce very much.
No, it seems like Sony really sort of used this con as their release platform, whereas Xbox did all their release in E3.
Yeah, I mean, the only things I could pick up on was Fable 3 next year. Fable 2 is going to be re-released as episodic, so you can download the first episode of it free, and if you want to then continue the game, you can then pay and unlock each episode, which I thought was quite a nice idea. Fable 2 has been out a year now, so nothing.
Yeah, it's almost too late for the game, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was a good game though.
Also, the 360 arcade is actually going to go up in price. I did also pick up a rumor that Xbox were going to announce a price drop, but based on the Sony announcement, they thought it would be lost in amongst the PS3 Slim, so they've delayed that announcement. And whether that's true or not, I guess we just need to wait and see.
I read something that, you know, at the moment you've got like three different packages that you can buy with the Xbox.
Oh, and they're just going to drop to two, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether they said they'll be either phasing out the Elite or making the Elite like the sort of premium type of pack.
The Elite's going to be the one that they're going to keep, and it's going to be the middle of the road one they're going to drop, which has got the smaller hard disk and
so what is the difference between the Elite and the premium one then? Is it
used to be that it was the HDMI port, but I believe they put that onto the premium in the end. Hard disk size, and I think some of the peripherals you get with it.
Right, okay.
And I think that's about it, really. So I think that's why the drop in the middle one, I think, would make a bit more sense.
Yeah.
Because as a consumer, you're not really losing out in any way, apart from...
Well, when the Elite was released, it was the HDMI port that was the most important thing. But they'd say they upgraded all their models anyway, so that's now redundant.
One more thing that I guess Microsoft did do was they actually let the public play with Natal for the first time. So they actually had, you know, people could go up and play in the towel, and the feedback seems to be pretty good. You know, it was actually very responsive, and I still have my doubts, and I still can't see me dancing around the room or grabbing a steering wheel that doesn't exist.
No. I watched a video of people using it, and there was one guy saying, you know, the delay is noticeable, you know, it's half a second maybe.
Yeah.
You see the thing moving. And also I saw a video of someone using the driving game. I think they were using Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
And it just looked really frustrating, as in, well, you know, why would I want to use this when I can just use a pad?
The bit that I hated was the fact that he says, look, just carry on, you're grabbing the wheel. And it's like, but I don't want to grab an imaginary wheel. You know, and then he was like pushing his imaginary pedal. And I was like, no.
See, that's why, for me, the Sony thing, they call it the wand, I think. Yep. I think that makes more sense, because you need to have something, like, physical in your hand.
You just want to be Harry Potter.
I was thinking of more like Indiana Jones.
No, you just want to be Harry Potter.
You want to hold your whip.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Indeed.
Can I just mention a quick couple of things as well?
Yeah, crack on, fanboy.
If you order Guitar Hero 5, I know you're not a fan, Ian, but I am. If you pre-order Guitar Hero 5 from Amazon, you will get Guitar Hero World Tour, the game, for free.
Ah, okay.
So that's the Guitar Hero 5 game is £70 with a guitar. Mm. So I thought that might be something.
You've got both World Tour and Rock Band, haven't you?
Yes. I love them both, to be honest with you. I think they've both got their good points. The other thing I saw, and I think Chris might have something to add to this as well, Logitech bringing out a new steering wheel called the G27, and it looks pretty damn impressive, I must say, but it's £330.
Bloody hell, I've only just read that price. I didn't realise that was the price.
It's a lot of money. I mean, I have a G25, which was the previous one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, effectively, this is the Ferrari of PC steering wheels, and I'm right into my online sim racing, so it's kind of the only choice out there, really, if you really want a top quality thing. I mean, it's made, you know, it's got leather clad steering wheel, it's made of stainless steel, and the pedals are, you know, got proper actuators, and they're solid as anything. And this G27 is a step up from that. It's not a great deal different. I mean, looking at the pictures, the biggest difference you've got is the fact that there's more face buttons on the steering wheel itself, which is kind of lacking on the G25. Yeah. And the
it's got LED lights or something like that.
It's got like little rev indicators, which you can actually, there's sort of add-on mods that you can get for the G25, but this obviously is hardware supported, so you don't have to hack around with it.
Look at the price.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the G25 was at least 250, so it's kind of in that same kind of region.
You,
in fact, when it was released, it probably was around.
For a steering wheel?
I think it was slightly cheaper than that when I bought it, because it's mature. Yeah. Boys and their toys, yeah. What floats your boat, isn't it?
But yeah, no, true.
It is it's a serious bit of kit. It's not just like your everyday steering wheel.
When I look at this G27, it just looks like mind-blowing. It does look like really, really
beefy. So it should. £330.
I think I paid probably under £200 because it's in the mature. And in fact, it's probably going to be good in that you can buy the G25 for cheaper now.
£330.
If anything.
Shit.
It's a lot of money. Shit.
One other thing. Have you, any of you, tried the Batman Arkham Asylum trailer yet?
Oh,
the
yes.
Demo. What did you think?
That was, I thought it was really good. I had a little fear it was a bit button bashing you, that you didn't, I guess somebody watching you play, you look like a god because you're doing all these great moves and you're just pressing a button.
When in fact you're just pointing at them and pressing one button.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, I do this fantastic counter and, oh, how did you elbow him in the face? I press Y. Yeah. How did you kick him? I pressed Y. How did you? I pressed X.
Yeah, how did you glide down there?
Wow. Yeah.
No, but, I mean, I thought I was going to be disappointed, but I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was quite nice, actually. So.
Well, I know somebody that already has the game, somewhat illegally, and I won't mention names. And it's not one of us. And he says the game's actually superb.
Right, okay.
And I know the reviews are all out for it, and the reviews have been all, you know, like 9 out of 10 or above 90%. So this could be the first, I think this is probably the first Batman game that's actually rated good.
Yeah, I mean, apart graphics from, were stunning, weren't they?
Do you remember Batman way back in the day before Head Over Heels?
Oh, the 3D one?
The isometric one?
Yeah, oh, lovely.
That was class. That was the last decent Batman game, and I'm not including Batman Lego because that's not a Batman game.
The only thing I found frustrating about the demo was that how much space was on the screen was taken up by Batman himself. He got in my way a little bit, I think.
I actually quite liked the graphics, but then I think it was the Unreal Engine shines through. Is just yeah. You always have.
You can tell it's the Unreal Engine.
You know, big fat characters.
You know, yeah, they got that slight glow on them as well.
Yeah, what I liked was that they weren't like plasticky, like you know some of the other games normally are.
Yeah,
no, it's a great engine.
I was very impressed. Very impressed. Is there any more games news? I think we're covered. There was one thing that I put in. I guess it's a bit more newsy. But there was what came out of the show was a couple of comments from developers just saying that the retail market in the UK is really limiting and that they find it hard to break in. And one of the issues I've got is the exchange rate at the moment is making it difficult, but also the pricing structure here. It's seemingly, you know, it's very much geared up to the retailer, you know, wins all the time. Mm. And one of their other complaints is the second-hand market hurts them. Because, you know, if games sell a game for £40, you know, a certain amount's obviously going back to the game publisher and developer, etc. But if somebody trades it in, their next sale, and the sale after that, and the sale after that, and the sale after that, is just all pure profit back on game.
Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed, EA, and I guess it's typical of EA, are trying to obviously get money back. So Madden 10 in America, and it's the same, I said in America, it's the same here, you get an online franchise, and instead of just accessing that from in-game, you actually get a little scratch card and a code, which you need to type the code in when you're playing the game. If you then trade that in, you can't reuse that code, so if somebody picks up a second-hand game, if they want to do the online franchise, they actually have to buy that. So this is their way of trying to pick up on the second-hand market and actually monetize that for themselves. And I still think, ultimately, that this is just the beginning of the end. We will end up in 3 or 4 years where it'll just be purely digital distribution. And we won't have game anymore.
We'll see. Same as CDs, I'm sure they all said that about music and all those kind of things. And it's
but look how many music shops are left? You've only got HMV really now, haven't you?
Mm. There's still Virgins around and all those.
There's HMV and Virgin, but they've all there's less and less.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it did sound to me a bit like a developer and a publisher moaning about the current state of affairs, which is the same for everyone. And the other thing that popped into my mind was, well, I'm willing to buy games at the moment, but there is nothing out there that's been released that I want to buy. if you want me to buy games, then make good games and I'll buy them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing just now is they're just saying it's the fifth month in a row that if they look back year on year, that sales are down, but there's been nothing to buy.
There's nothing to buy. I mean, it said that all the publishers have been sticking their head in the sand and saying, well, they've been battening down the hatches, haven't they? And just trying to keep everything under control for now. And hopefully it all seems to be kicking off again now, which is good news.
Yeah. I did actually pre-order a whole lot of games yesterday. I think I ordered 6 or 7 games. But they're all like from between October and December.
Yeah,
in fact, not in December, it's October, November. Mm. All of them come out in those 2 months.
Yep, so it's going to be a big rush now.
And they won't get played as much?
No, exactly. They'll get a bit lost in the competition.
Speaking of gamers, did you know that the average age of a hardcore gamer is no longer... They're no longer teenagers, but they are 35-year-old.
I think it's been like that for a while. It's just that people don't expect that.
No, they don't. They still think it's kids playing games, but it's not.
I mean, when games cost £50 each, you're not going to get kids buying games, are you? They can't afford to.
You pay £50.
Well, I don't. I know some people do that.
Well, Ian paid something like 120 once for some game. Mario Kart.
All I can say is, how does it feel, Shaq, you to be older than the average gamer? Because
I don't consider myself a gamer anymore, I'm out of that.
So you've just spent the last half hour talking about Sony.
I was reporting. I wasn't playing. But don't you think that stat matches you, though? Aren't you sort of in there?
Well, I'm not that overweight anymore. And I'm definitely...
Because that was the other thing, wasn't it? It was 35 overweight and under healthy.
And sad.
Not healthy. and lonely.
I'm not that sad.
No, you're not.
I'm too young to be a gamer.
Go on, Shaq, you'll do your movie news.
I'm assuming both of you have already seen this, the new Avatar trailer by James Cameron.
It was a really nice trailer, but I don't know. Just very CGI.
I guess it's the step up in that so many movies nowadays are nearly all CGI anyway. Mm. Well, why not go the final step and make it completely that way?
No, well, I think it's CGI, but the quality is a lot more higher than what we've seen so far. But I think the biggest thing about it is you forget that it's filmed all in 3D. So when you watch that on a 3D IMAX cinema, it's going to be mind-blowing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait. That's the one thing. I'll be watching it in IMAX. I can't wait.
Yep.
If I could book tickets now, I would book them.
Is the one in Glasgow, the IMAX, is that 3D?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Giggity.
So I'll book you a ticket when I'm booking mine, yeah?
Yeah, sure, definitely.
I just hope that they've gone down the story route rather than the technology route with it.
Well, I don't think I'll care.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll care if it's 3.5 hours long and I'm, you know, starting to get a bit uncomfortable, but...
Yeah.
You know, when Toy Story came out, it was good because of the, you know, it hit a market, didn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely.
It wasn't just the technology.
You've been watching District 9.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I knew nothing about that until I watched the Avatar trailer and I thought, okay, I'll see what other movie trailers are out there. And just happened to come across that and I thought, what is this?
No spoilers.
I watched it and it's actually a really, really nice film.
Oh, okay.
I think because there's not been a lot of hype about it, and if there has, I haven't, like, you know, read into it. It seems to be like a low-budget film. Produced by Peter Jackson. And somebody said to me at work that the guy who's directed it was supposed to be the director who was supposed to be directing the Halo movie before it was canned.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if that gone through and maybe it's not been canned, maybe they will come back to it in the future. I think he will do a really good job. Budget film, the effects are like amazing. They look so real.
I mean, I think the backstory is that he's based it on a short film that he shot. You know, I think 3 or 4 years ago, it was just a kind of 10-minute thing. They've spun out the story, but they've taken that story and expanded upon it. And it was based on, you know, he spent 6 months, 8 months, a lot of hard work on the Halo film, which then got dropped.
Right. Well, the look and feel of the film is almost like Cloverfield. It's sort of like a documentary type of aspect.
Goody, goody.
But not all of the film is like that. You know, there's some proper sort of filmy bits in there. But story is quite nice, you know, it's quite quite a fresh story.
Good.
So I watched the trailer, it looked interesting, it definitely interests me.
Oh, I loved the trailer. But I don't know, I just a lot of the time, watching the cinema just puts me off, so I usually just wait for, you know, Blu-ray now.
Yeah.
Now, we did say we were going to talk about Boxy, but we have prattled on for so long again, which was only to be expected with all that news.
There was a lot out this week.
There was a lot out next week. What I'm thinking is we might do is, like, instead of... We could keep on putting this off. We might just need to do a special, you know, and just close out Boxy and, you know, the other options for streaming media and just do that in one episode.
Yeah, can do.
Cool.
One last thing. Sorry, I think we missed out. If it interests anybody about OLED screens...
No.
They said... Sony have been basically stalling the mass production of these because of the recent financial losses that they've sustained.
So is that just because of the cost?
To mass produce them, they would obviously, you know, normally anything that, any new technology, the company that makes it, they need to take a little bit of a financial hit.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can afford to take any more at the moment. So,
I mean, OLED was expensive for small screens, so I can't imagine what it would cost for a big screen.
I mean, they've got a screen now at the moment. I think it's quite small. It's either like 11-inch or 9-inch or something.
Yeah, well, I thought I had like 15 or 17 in my head because it was just a really small widescreen.
Yeah, and it looks quite nice because it's, you know, really, really thin.
Yeah.
But it's way too much, you know, in price too for the average consumer to buy. So I was looking forward to these sort of OLED screens. But I think it's good in a way because I'm not ready to upgrade anyway at the moment. And I wouldn't mind like waiting another 2 or 3 years.
No, I don't. Well, I think 3D is going to be the, you know, I'm not saying it's like that's the thing that's going to make me move, but
yeah.
I guess what I'm thinking is I want to wait and see what actually becomes available. I wouldn't want to like buy a telly in the next 12 months and then 12 months later, you know, you start to get the 3D supporting TVs coming out.
True. Especially with Sky announcing their 3D channel for the future.
Which I still think it's a gimmick, but we'll wait and see.
Okay.
So, picks. Chris, what picks have you got for this week?
Well, it's just something I picked up on. I was just digging around news as I do, and sort of someone was doing a discussion on, was there any sort of online photo editing software? So I took a look at the links they sort of sent through, and there's something called Sumo Paint and another one called Pixlr, which are absolutely incredible online applications with, you know, pretty advanced photo editing and just design and development features in them. They look like they're built in Flex, and I was just blown away by them, basically. You can sort of download your own photos, you can do just simple edits if you want, or you can get into the full layered, you know, effects and filters and things like that. Definitely worth a look.
Are they all free?
All free at the moment, yep. Just okay. I had to create an account on the Sumo Paint one, but the Pixlr one just straight in there.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, I'll do mine next. I do a lot of web apps, and part of the problem is just support, and I know you two guys are web developers as well. And moving to Mac, one of the issues was always losing out on testing against IE6 and 7 and 8, which is one of the reasons that, you know, you get VMware or Parallels for booting into the operating system. If you go to browserlab.adobe, is it Adobe or Adobe? Here's the thing.
Adobe.
So at browserlab.adobe.com, and in there you can actually test a website against, I think it's only 7 or 8 different operating systems. So you can go test like against Firefox 2 on XP and OS X, Firefox 3 on XP and OS X, and then IE6, IE7 and Safari. But what I found was it was a really easy way without having to boot into another operating system to actually test a website. You can compare side by side, or you can do an onion skin, you know, like overlap two browsers so you can see where you've got some CSS styling issues.
Do you know how they run this on the Adobe website?
I have no idea. You put your website in and it takes maybe like 10-15 seconds to generate the page for each site. So I'm thinking it's running on server. So I don't know.
Right. They've got a server farm which
I'm guessing have all these different virtual environments.
And they just run a screen grab effectively. And you can upgrade your account on Browser Lab to have a live view. I've used this as a developer, and I came across it a couple of weeks ago actually, and I was really intrigued by it. So I had a look. The only problem is that it is only IE6 really that, from a developer's point of view, offers any particular problems.
Yeah.
As long as your standards compliant now, all the other browsers are pretty much of a muchness. There's no you know, radical differences.
But we have loads of issues with IE7 as well at work.
The IE7 definitely has a few more issues, but it's far more compliant as long as your coding is generally okay. The bigger issue is obviously things like JavaScript and how they react in a live environment, but you have to have the paid-for account to do that, I think, in Browser Lab. I've come across or used before something called Browser Cam, which is a set of applications where you can actually, again, they have a farm, and you VNC into the actual operating systems to actually go and physically use the browsers, and that works quite nice as well. Would be, you know, if they enhance this and add more browsers in there, then it's going to be great, especially if they add some Linux browsers in.
Definitely, and that was my only downside, was just a limited amount of options. You know, if they, you know, added, I don't know, double the amount, say, you know, so you're covering a lot more bases, then it would be fantastic. But still, a good free,
definitely
a good free site to visit. Shaquille, your pick.
Thank you, Ian. My pick this week will be, I guess, PS3 Media Server, because that's what I've been using recently.
Good.
I think we mentioned in the past that both of us use MediaLink for PS3 streaming. And I had tried PS3 Media Server several weeks back, but I had some issues with it. I couldn't get it running properly, even though it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to work out of the box. And then our roving reporter, Trisha Takanawa, tried it, and he loved it. And so I thought I'll give it another try. Downloaded it last week. Again, I had the same issue as before. It just would not recognise my PS3. So I did a bit of Googling and found out that there's a little option in there that you can, if you select one of the other presets, that might fix it for some people, might not for others. I gave it a try and it fixed my issues. So as soon as I flicked it over, it recognised the PS3. I had a couple of MKVs, so I thought I'll, you know, give them a try, and yeah, they work perfectly. You get DTS, you even get subs, which I could never manage to get working on Media Link. The only downside was, which isn't a huge issue, it does take quite a bit of time to for the actual stream to start playing. Whereas, you know, with Media Link, it might take, for example, 5 to 6 seconds. This one might take twice or maybe three times as long before it will actually start playing your file.
Well, it's not a disaster.
It's not a disaster at all. And it just, you know, you can have it running concurrently with Media Link as well. They won't interfere with each other. And both of them will appear on your PS3.
And did you, when you were, as you were playing, was there any stuttering or frame drops?
No. No, I mean, I watched the video last night.
That's the most important thing for me. It's not the, I mean, I'm quite happy to even wait 30 seconds or a minute to start up, as long as it doesn't lose, you know, as long as it doesn't stutter throughout playback.
And well, can you control while during the stream? So can you pause and maybe rewind? Obviously, you can't go forward.
Yeah, but did you test out? You can do, but I always find that it sort of has an impact on the stream. And it's not just with the media server, it happens with Media Link as well. If you start, like, fast-forwarding or rewinding back, depending on how much you fast-forward or rewind, it will actually take, when you start playing it, there might be, like, a long delay for the stream to sort of, like, catch up with what it was doing. So this can be quite annoying sometimes, but again, you know, for getting all of this capability for free, I don't think it's a huge issue.
No, definitely not.
The other thing that bothered me before was if I downloaded in like an anime or like a manga film which had subtitles, I would have to like manually encode the subtitles into the movie.
Ah, right, yep.
Before I could see them. With this one, if the subs are in the MKV, you have the option to, you know, switch between them, turn them off, turn them on, switch between English, Dutch, German, whatever it is on the file. So, yeah, really, really nice. Quite happy.
Very good. And it's interesting because the, you know, you're talking about if you fast forward or rewind, it kind of affects the stream.
Yeah.
But the only time I've not noticed that is the Apple keynotes. If you're watching the Apple keynote and you just want to jump ahead, you click ahead and it just seems to start up straight away. It's very and that's over
but
the
those
web.
Keynotes, do they have like chapters sort of
no, but this
profile?
Is over the web.
Right, okay.
You know, so I'm on the web, I'm looking at this thing, you're thinking how many people are hitting this right now? And it's 90 minutes long, there's that boring bit where he was on about, you know, doing some crappy demo.
Yeah.
And you just click ahead and it's like, there you go.
Yeah, I think the issue here might just be between, you know, the media server and the PS3, maybe it's not as smooth as the web.
But still,
I mean, again, minor issues overall for what you get.
And it's free.
Beautiful, yeah. It's free.
And it works on any platform, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got a link in the show notes. You can get it for Linux or Linux, for the Mac, and for Windows as well. All free.
Fantastic. And we're done. That is quite possibly the longest one. If you're still with us, you get a badge for lasting that long. And just remember, we do have chapters in our podcasts. So see if there's a bit that you think, oh my God, they're going on about Apple again. You don't want to hear it.
When you're streaming us, you can skip forward.
Yeah. But no, if you listen to the iPod, just remember, next chapter. Crack on. Let's just close there. You can find us on our website, which is www.digitaloutbox.com. And we'd love you to get in touch. Any questions or queries, info@digitaloutbox.com. Or follow us on Twitter, Digital Outbox. Shaquille, where can we find out more about you?
Blog, Shaquille9.com. Twitter, ShaqN. Facebook, Shaquille9.
Fantastic. Chris?
Twitter, CheesyUK. Blog, chrisatchinson.org.uk.
And for me, blog, indie.net. Twitter is Sweeper. Facebook, who cares? thanks
well,
for
we
listening.
We have a Digital Outbox Facebook account, so please
I'm
follow
going to record you saying this so you don't have to say it each week, because I don't bother with it, do I?
Well, you should.
Why?
It's an important part of our social networking.
So when have you posted there?
I think we're going to close now, aren't we?
was that the tumbleweed sound effect?
Shit.
And on that note, ta-da.
Bye.
See ya.
Shit.